We started this hour with an inquiry into whether billionaire investments into technology solutions for climate change represent a new front in the battle to save the environment, or if they are misguided short-term distractions. We end this hour with a look at the broader motivations and patterns of giving on this Giving Tuesday, a day set aside for giving 4 years ago by a coalition of philanthropy and service organizations. Giving Tuesday follows and precedes a parade of holiday gluttony and consumption. You probably know all about that. Does such a reminder stimulate a deeply rooted impulse to give on your part? A guilty afterthought? Is it another construct like Black Friday and Cyber Monday? Last year, donations to charities on Giving Tuesday nearly reached $46 million compared to all those holiday billions in spending and consumption. Does the proximity of the poor have an effect on giving? Can a beggar on the street get an heiress to roll down the window of her Bentley and toss a 20? Well, in a community where vast inequalities of income abound, do the billionaires respond more responsibly like the Gateses and Googles and Zuckerbergs do to global warming? Marion Stern is an independent consultant advising public charities on fundraising, board development, and strategic planning. She's also adjunct assistant professor at New York University in the School of Professional Studies. Marion Stern, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So does income inequality, because it's going to be such a campaign issue, have an impact on giving on the part of people who are most in a position to give?
I wouldn't say that giving inequality per se has an impact, but we do know that people of great wealth do give differently on occasion than the average person who will make, you know, half a dozen donations at the end of the year. They have something which a researcher at Boston College by the name of Paul Skirvish called hyperagency, which means that because they have vast resources, when they make a charitable donation, they want to make a difference like all of us do, but they want to make a big difference, which is why you see a lot of mega philanthropists making enormous gifts to one institution rather than kind of sprinkling it around across a variety of different organizations.
So in a sense, the Zuckerbergs and Bill Gateses focused on the climate change conference might be an example of this, as well-meaning as the scientific giving might be to deal with climate change.
Sure. I would never cast dispersion on someone who's being philanthropic. The fact is they can leave that money to their children or buy another yacht or take another extravagant vacation. Sometimes, however, the public perceive these large gifts as trying to dictate the conversation, so to speak, around an issue. And when their wealth is so vast and the amount of money that they can contribute is so large, occasionally you'll hear criticism of them that their point of view is what's pushing the policy, so to speak, in that area. You hear this a lot in the education space with charter schools, of course, because charter schools are heavily funded by hedge fund billionaires.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this question of point of view.
Okay.
Is it possible that people who are super wealthy in communities where there are income disparities live in a certain kind of bubble, and that their demand for impact immediately maybe doesn't reflect the nuances of social change that may require a much longer term investment, and that there's a tendency to focus on short term kinds of big buildings and that sort of thing?
I actually think in some ways it's the opposite, in that your large philanthropists are often very strategic or have advisors who help them with strategy. And therefore, I feel they're willing often to support those programs or initiatives that don't have immediate impact. But the difference with people who are extraordinarily wealthy is that when you look at motivations for giving, one of the strongest motivations is a concept called identification. And this is not rocket science. It makes a lot of sense that when a donor can identify with an issue or with the ultimate recipient, the more likely they are to give, which is why you see that the percentage of people who are on the lower side of the income scale, almost the near poor, are in some ways more philanthropic than other members of the population, if you look at it as a percentage of their income, because they can identify with the person on the street who perhaps they were, or they see themselves as one layoff from the factory, that they would then be in that position.
When John D. Rockefeller needed another identity as something other than the gigantic magnate of the energy industry, he went out and invented modern philanthropy in some ways. He developed medical research.
Yes.
He created the University of Chicago. So in a variety of areas, the model was really set by John D. Rockefeller. Is it changed a lot since then, and are people more or less strategic in the same position that Rockefeller was in, more or less?
Well, you're correct in that John D. Rockefeller invented modern philanthropy. I think he really set the tone for all the generations to come. He had a philanthropy advisor by the name of Reverend Gates, who helped
him. Isn't
that
ironic? Isn't that so interesting?
I know. I love it. He said to him, "Mr. Rockefeller, if you don't give away your money, you will drown in it and your future generations will drown in it." He saw it as having a possible negative effect on the family long term. So Rockefeller really started this concept of making gifts where you don't necessarily get the immediate gratification. When he started, he said his favorite charity or nonprofit that he started was the Rockefeller Institute, which is now Rockefeller University. When they started that, they actually said they did not expect in their lifetimes to see any results. As it turned out, they hired brilliant researchers and they immediately began to come up with important breakthroughs in science. But I think his influence is still very, very powerful.
Finally, before we go, you mentioned,
yes,
and I thought this was fascinating, that the percentage of philanthropic giving among the sort of marginally well-off comes from this identification idea that you identify with people who you might have been but for one paycheck or something. Is there a way to stimulate that? Is there a policy way to encourage something like that? Because there's certainly many more of them than there are billionaires. And if you could mobilize that sense of giving, identification giving, you could have a real force there. And I'm wondering if Tuesday Giving Day does something like that.
Quite honestly, and I say this with some discomfort, but I think the most important force among that part of our demographic is religion. People are stimulated to give in their churches, their synagogues, their mosques, because every religion has some predisposition for people to give. And I think that's much more important. You hear among people at the very lower end of the income spectrum that they give at their church or their church has a soup kitchen. And they come together in a type of giving circle, so to speak, to pool their money. And then they feel real impact. But that element of our population is extraordinarily philanthropic. And I do think religion plays a role and this sort of there but for the grace of God go I kind of motto.
Marian Stern, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Marian Stern is adjunct assistant professor at New York University in the School of Professional Studies.